Luke chapter 12 this morning. Our Sunday school teacher is down in his back this morning, not able to be with us, so he asked me to fill in. And we're just going to look at something for a little bit. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And certainly, we know the meaning of little flock. Certainly, this morning, we've got many who are out, some who would normally be here, are out for different reasons, just a small group of us here. And even when we're all here together, if all of our membership were able to be here, we would still be a little flock in many places. And it's not just today, not just here at King's Edition, but in many places in the New Testament, we see small congregations of people meeting to worship and to praise Him. And yet today, and for some time, I shouldn't say just today, but for some time, there's been this ever-growing trend of in the religious world that the larger the church, the more the Lord must be blessing them. And we know that's not true. We see larger, and I put that word church in quotation marks because some are certainly not true churches of the Lord. But that seems to be the trend. And certainly many, if not all, I'm not going to say all, because I think there are some of like faith and that are true churches. It possibly could be large that are out there. I don't know for sure. I know there are some who are, we know several that are larger than our congregation. We have mission works that we support that have larger congregations than we do. Other churches we fellowship with. And nothing wrong with having a large congregation if it's of the Lord. And if the truth is being taught. But as in this verse in Luke, and in several stories recorded in the book of Acts, we see in the early days of Christianity, as the apostles and other men were traveling around preaching the gospel and organizing churches, that there were small groups meeting and worshiping and studying the Word of God. There's many places and we're not going to turn to them this morning. I got the call kind of late this morning that I was going to have to fill in, so I didn't get to go and look at some of the scriptures I would like to, but if you think back on some of the stories in the book of Acts in particular, we know that it appears as though there was a church started with the household of the Philippian jailer, for one. There was Lydia and her household. And possibly those two households may have even combined at some point. It's what history kind of tells us, that they may have combined into one church at some point. There's others. Certainly, we see the stories of Paul's missionary journeys where hundreds of, if not thousands at times, the Lord saved and added to the churches. We see it on the day of Pentecost, when the first church was added to by thousands. So we know, at least in the beginning, that was common. It was commonplace to see thousands, hundreds and thousands of people added to the church, or churches. But in our day and time, we don't see it so much. And we think on the missionaries out there in other parts of the world. We commonly think of, we see reports they're not necessarily from our missionaries or from missionaries that we know, believe as we do. You hear of, it's nothing to, in the past 40, 50 years even, to hear of people in Africa and maybe the Pacific Islands and in India and other places where there would be hundreds or thousands of people who they claimed were saved. And I say claimed because I don't know, but because they were of a different religious order, we have to question that. But we don't see that, even that we're not seeing today. You know, the great missionaries, Baptist missionaries, that who went to India and China and Africa and other parts, South America, other parts of the world, where God's elect obviously were, and large groups were saved from the preaching of the gospel by men who came from the United States and England in the early days. We're not seeing those large groups anymore. And certainly in our own nation, with all the troubles we see around us today, we don't see the great numbers, even that were being saved in, like in the great awakenings that took place in the early days of our nation. Those things are not there anymore. Does that mean that God doesn't have his elect out there? No, that's not what it means. But it could mean that the numbers of his elect are less and less. It could mean that as we get closer to that time of his coming, there will be fewer and fewer who will be saved, because the numbers of his elect are fewer and fewer that are left here on this earth. In most cases in the New Testament, in Acts, and you know, in Acts we know, and some have said, and I think at one time I even tried to take the numbers that are mentioned about the first church there in Jerusalem, at least the numbers that the Bible records, and others will say that there were, I guess there's other writings of other men who lived during that time other than Luke that wrote of those meetings that were being held during that time. Some say there was as many as 20 to 30,000 members of the first church at Jerusalem by the time that Stephen was martyred. And if you remember the story, when Stephen was martyred, shortly thereafter the Lord caused them to flee back to their homes. Remember those? A lot of those people in those early days in the church at Jerusalem were not from Jerusalem. They were there, they were Jews, they were there, they had come there to observe some of the yearly feasts, but they were not there to stay. But they stayed. When the Lord saved them, remember, they sold everything and moved to in what we would call a commune. They made all things common. And it worked for a time, but that wasn't the Lord's intent. His intent was for them to go out and spread the gospel to all the world. And to do that, he had to disperse them, disperse of their commune, in other words. How many were left? Who knows? I don't know if that number is even recorded or not anywhere, but we know at some point the church at Jerusalem, the vast majority of those members fled back to the countries that they had come from, and so its numbers dwindled down greatly. I don't know how much. Like I said, I don't know that there's even a recording of that, but certainly not in God's word. But we do know that the church still remained, at least for a time, because we see in Acts where the church at Antioch sent help back to them when there was a famine. And Paul, even in Romans and in some other places, talks about the church at Jerusalem. So it was still there, at least up until the apostles died. In most of the cases, we are never told of the numbers. We just know they were small congregations. And Paul even records that. And Luke and Acts, they mention, like I said before, sometimes it was just a family that started a church. There's no set number. There are, we have proof in Acts that they had a business meeting when they appointed Matthias as the replacement for Judas as one of the apostles. And we know how they did a business meeting. There are other examples of those things in Scripture, and we try to stick as close as possible to those things as we can. No evidence for sure of how many there were in each congregation. Even the letters that Paul wrote, he doesn't mention the numbers. Now, we know when he went and preached at the synagogues, and remember, Paul's practice was that he would go to the synagogue first, and while he's preaching at the synagogue to the Jews, most of the time the Gentiles, or some Gentiles, were there listening. And they were permitted to do so. That was one of the things the Jews had set up at the synagogues, was a place that the Gentiles couldn't come in, but they could sit outside and listen. And so they were doing that with Paul, and many of the Gentiles were saved during that time. And eventually the Lord told Paul, you're going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, and so they're going to be the people that you're going to teach. And they're going to be the majority of the church to come, the churches to come. And so we know in places it says there was large numbers that were saved. Some places it says there was just a few. There were churches started out of those groups. Paul stayed, and in each of those letters you see where Paul or a man he sent would stay and teach those people until they were ready to be organized into a church and ready to call a pastor. And sometimes that pastor came from amongst the congregation, and sometimes he didn't. Remember, Paul taught Timothy and Titus, and he sent them to churches who needed a pastor. The pastor didn't always come from the congregation. And we carry that practice on today. Now, our pastors don't always come from our own congregation. Sometimes they're sent by another church, especially if churches or a mission work is ready to organize into a church. Sometimes the missionary himself will become the pastor. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he moves on to another mission work, and the church sends another man to pastor the original church. But numbers are not what it's all about. And the Lord makes that clear here in Luke. Fear not, little flock. We know from our studies on the Lord's church and on His bride. Some people out there have this imagination, this thought that there's going to be millions upon millions of people in the bride. The Scripture doesn't teach that. And it doesn't tell us exactly how many, but here he says little flock. It's not going to be a great number. I think when we get there, I think we're all going to be, I don't know if we'll be surprised, because at that time we'll know all things, or whatever he shows us anyway. But in our thinking here anyway, we would be surprised at how many are actually in the bride. I don't think it's going to be as many. Even though we know it's not going to be as many as the world thinks, or the religious world thinks, I still don't think it's going to be as many as we think it's going to be either. I think it's going to be far less. Or it could be more. You know, we don't know. Maybe we know, or at least we think we know, what the Lord's requirements are, according to Scripture, for one to be in the bride, and for one of those churches to be in the bride. But we look around us today and we see fewer and fewer of the Lord's churches. We see the majority of his churches are small in number. We have to think that, and now we'll go back in times past, maybe just a generation before us, even 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and we see there were churches with great numbers. There were churches, and I say great numbers, even amongst Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist, there's never been great numbers. Not since the other days in the scripture, but there were greater numbers than there are now. That's evidenced if you read of some of the conferences that were held in the old days, and some of the Baptist historians write of the numbers of some of the congregations, and there were great numbers at one time. Does that make everyone in those congregations a member of the bride? Certainly not. We know the bride is only made up of those who are faithful, and but there were still greater numbers than there are now. Many of in the New Testament, many of these people were meeting in someone's home, or in some cases, they were meeting out in the open at different places. Like I mentioned, there were families. There was a centurion. They were having meetings in his home, remember? And there was some who were meeting out in the open at different places. Remember, there was a group of women who were meeting beside the river. Now, we know, according to the scripture, that it would be an impossibility for a group of just women to be considered a church, because you have to have leadership, and the leadership would have to be men. And that's God's order of things. That's not my order of things. That's God's order of things. So, but those women were meeting, and if you remember the story, eventually there were some men that showed up, and so, but that turned, that mission work, if you will, turned into a church eventually. And there were others like that. But the fact is, not all the churches mentioned in the scripture were large in number, like the church in Jerusalem or the church at Antioch. This misconception of how a church is to be large in number has brought about many false professions and false conversions, all for the sake of growing the Lord's church. And I think it's evident, and even in our, not just in our day and time, but even, like I said, a generation before for sure, and even further back, this doctrine of free will and this doctrine of let's get people saved and get them in the church and grow the numbers. And one of the issues that a lot of churches have is their roles, their church roles, member roles, are in the hundreds, and yet they have less than 20 showing up for service. Now, in our situation, we have some people who are homebound, and we understand that, and I believe the Lord does too. We don't discipline someone because of their health. We don't discipline someone because of their job, if their job all of a sudden requires them to work. And there are other reasons that we wouldn't, but in the current situation with the pandemic, you know, we wouldn't discipline because of that. But certainly if a member failed to participate in the service and did it for any length of time, you know, the churches pride themselves on their numbers still in many cases, and so they don't discipline people like they should. But it's all for the sake of growing, or they say it's all for the sake of growing the Lord's church. But is it? The fact is, our Lord never promised us the numbers would be great. That's never promised in God's word. He never promised. He did talk about when our Lord was was teaching and preaching, he did promise that in the early days there would be many who would be saved. But he also said there was going to be not just a great falling away. And remember, that great falling away, preachers try to say, well, that's referring to the world as a whole, but it's not. How can you fall away from something if you're not, if you haven't been a part of it? So that great falling away is talking about God's people falling away. There are many who have left the churches, who have fallen out of the churches because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith in the church itself, or they've put more faith in a pastor, or there's those who, churches where a pastor may have passed away or moved on, and there's members that quit coming because there's no longer a pastor there. And instead of continuing and being faithful, they leave. Nowhere in the scripture are we told to do that. We're to be faithful to the Lord's service. He never promised us that there would be great numbers of people following after a man of God who was preaching the truth. We see that a lot today, especially with the older pastors that we know and we fellowship with and we love. There are those who, if that man was to pass away, like I said, there are members who would quit going to that church. There are members who would quit going to conferences if certain men didn't show up. That's how it is. And people are that way, and it's sad that they are. Yet like the rest of the religious world, many a good sound preacher or pastor has fallen into the train of thought that if the numbers are great, the Lord must not be in. If the numbers are not great, the Lord must not be in it. There are those out there. I've talked with some. I know some personally who think that when a church stops growing, physically growing as far as their membership, that they're dead. In some cases, where, and like here, we've had people who have passed away, people who have moved on to, because of jobs, or many in this church have moved on because the men were called to pastor somewhere else, and have left a small number. These things are of the Lord also. Yes, I agree. There may be some churches who, when the pastor passes on or moves on, and the church falls off into false doctrine, and they do that. Well, I know some churches who have done that, who have fallen off into false doctrine after a pastor leaves. And we don't know, we've talked about this before, we don't know for sure when the Lord removes the candlestick from a church. We can see when the false doctrine that they're following gets so severe that they no longer have anything in common with the rest of the Lord's churches. That's a pretty good sign. But just because a church is small in number doesn't mean that it's dead. Doesn't mean that the Lord's removed your candlestick. Look at the people that are there and their faithfulness. They're there for a reason. And many of the many of the Lord's true churches have been left without a pastor because of this very thing. Because people quit coming because there was no pastor, or maybe the church called a pastor and for whatever reason the people didn't want to support him because he wasn't like the last one. That happens too. There are churches that have been without a pastor for many years. I know some that have been out without a pastor for 10 or more years now. And that seems odd to us, but it does happen. And for whatever reason, the Lord has not sent someone. Does that mean that church is dead? No, it doesn't. Does it mean that there are problems there? It could. The Lord might be keeping them from a pastor because maybe there's something they're doing they shouldn't, or there's something they should be doing that they're not. You know, that happens too. I also know of men out there who would rather sit at home than to go work a small church because the money's not there. There are men who are all about the money, and they won't admit it. But you look and you listen to them talk, and they're not going to give up their career to go pastor a church and lose everything financially. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't provide for our families. We should, even as pastors. But you got to choose between the world and the Lord. And there are those men who will not do it. And there's men that I know that will not leave where they're at. They're sitting under a they've got a pastor where they're at. They're sitting in a good sound church, but there are churches all over this country that need pastors. There are churches. Some of them have. There are churches in their own town, and they won't go. They won't go pastor because they would have to sacrifice too much. In several places in the four Gospels, we see where Jesus oftentimes was teaching only to the 12. We know for that reason, for that purpose anyway, for that time, he was preparing them for a mission, for the Great Commission, if you want to put it that way. He was preparing them for when he was going to leave. And so there was many times that he was teaching just to the 12 disciples, and if you look through the scriptures, you see that often. You have to be careful. We talk about reading things in its context, and we do try to do that. Many times when he's talking, when Christ was teaching, it was just to the 12. Sometimes it was just to Peter, James, and John. And sometimes it was to all 12. Sometimes it was just to two or three or four of them. So turn to John chapter 6 in verse 66. And remember, this is the disciples were questioning. And the disciples that he mentions here, if you start back in verse 60, it says, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying, who can hear it?'" This was not just the 12. This was those who were following him, who he was teaching. This was part of the multitude that we hear about so much in the New Testament. These were people who were following Christ around and listening to him teach. And as he was teaching, there were times when he would teach things that were a hard lesson for them, and they didn't want to hear it. And so, in this case, we see where it says, "Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying, who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.'" So some of these, even though he calls them disciples, didn't believe. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And his ascension. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. So some of these people were going to betray him also. In verse 65, "And he said, 'Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it was given unto him of my Father.'" So there's this great misconception in the religious world that when the Bible talks about disciples, that either it's just talking about the 12 disciples, because it does talk about just the 12 disciples at times, or it's the whole multitude. And in this case, he's talking about a large number of people. We don't know how many, but those that were following at the time, he calls his disciples, because they were, and the word disciple is just means that they were students, basically. They were following Christ, listening to him preach, watching his miracles. Some of them had the miracles performed on them. Some were believers, some weren't. Just like we see in a lot of churches today, where you have people who claim the name of Christ but are not. Are not Christ. They're not his. They're not his elect. I don't believe we have that problem here, at least that, not that I'm aware of, but there are many out there, and you look around at some of the churches we fellowship with, talk to some of the pastors, they'll tell you. I've heard pastors talk about those things, but in Jesus' day, there were those who were following him, people who the Bible refers to as his disciples, who were not his elect. And he tells us that here. And in verse 66, he says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because they were not believers, because they were not his elect. In verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12. So here are the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. Will ye also go away? And then you see, we won't read any further, but you see Simon Peter go on and explain or answer the question. A great concern I have is that there is a large number of true Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist churches in this nation of ours who are without a pastor, and because each congregation is small in number, many preachers pastors in churches have written them off as being dead. And I mentioned that earlier. Just because a church is without a pastor doesn't mean they're dead. This church went for a short time without a pastor. There's others that have gone without pastors in the past. And they weren't dead. The Lord called a man to them. He may do that to some of these others, he may not. We should be ashamed of ourselves if we honestly believe a church is dead just because the Lord has not provided them a pastor at this time. In most cases that I know of, it's obvious the Lord is still working in those areas where those small churches are. There's missions. We've got a mission work where there's no missionary there. There's other mission works around the world that have no mission, have no missionary. But we know the Lord's still working there. We see his hand in everything they do. What greater statement of faith for a church than to continue the Lord's work even when they have no pastor, or even when the numbers are down? You know, we look at our own numbers here, and certainly we've got low numbers, but look at the work we're able to continue to do. The Lord has blessed us financially. He's blessed us in other ways. With many of us still have our health. Those of us who are not retired are still able to work. Those who are retired are still able to do things, help with the church and other things. And yet, there are churches that are twice our size or even bigger that don't do as much as we do, and don't care to. And yet, they'll really look at us and say we're a dead church. It could be the other way around. Remember what our Lord said in Matthew 18:20. I'm not going to turn there. We're running out of time. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, just because two or three are gathered together does not constitute a church. But he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. If people are meeting together, no matter the number, the Lord's there. Even if it's just two or three, the Lord's there. as Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist, we should be very well aware that the truths we teach and preach are not going to draw the large crowds that so many are expecting today. And yes, there are, I mentioned before, there are some large, what we would consider large, Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist churches out there, but for the most part, the congregations are very small. I forgot what I was going to say. I had something on my mind and now I've lost it. But what I found in my travels is that most of the time, those very small congregations are more loving, more compassionate to their visitors and to each other and to those other churches they fellowship with. And that's a fact. When we go to conferences and when we go to other fellowship meetings, and when others come to our fellowship meetings and to our conferences and our revival meetings, and you see it. The small congregations, the people that come from the small congregations are very thankful that they're still able to fellowship with other churches. Some, because of their lack of a pastor, many of them are starving for fellowship and teaching. And we know some like that. They're missing. They don't have a pastor, but they still want a fellowship with others of like faith. Yet I see men who refuse to go and preach and teach because of the small numbers. There's men who have the means, physical and financial means, to go and preach, but won't. And I try to encourage some of those. You know, there's churches that don't have a pastor that would like to have someone come and preach, even if you don't go there to pastor in lieu of a pastor, go and preach for them every once in a while. And I know some men that do that. I know some who the Lord has not called to a specific place yet, anyway. They will go and fill in when they can. The Lord's blessing them in that. But I also recognize that the Lord does not seem to be raising up new preachers as he once was. We don't see the large numbers of young men being called to preach as we once did in this country. And that's another reason why I say our time is short here, because it seems as though the Lord's work here seems to be winding down. Yes, there are some out there, but there are far more churches who are in need of a pastor than there are God called men to fill the positions. We need to be much in prayer for these small churches. Pray the Lord strengthens them spiritually. Pray the Lord gives them the man they need, or that this is another sign that our Lord is coming soon. And comfort them in that. That should be a comfort to all of us, especially the small churches, that just because we're small doesn't mean that we're not one of the Lord's churches. It could be that his time is near and that he's close to being done with his elect. So we'll stop there for now, and we'll be back in a few minutes with our morning sermon.